Donald Trump is the presumptive presidential nominee for the Republicans this morning. That's the call by the Republican National Committee Chairman, Reince Priebus, who's calling on Republicans to unite now in order to defeat Democrats in November. This after Trump won the Indiana presidential primary last night with 53% of the vote. A short time later, Ted Cruz dropped out.
I've said that I would continue on as long as there was a viable path to victory. Tonight, I'm sorry to say, it appears that path has been foreclosed.
With us this morning to talk about Trump, Cruz, and the Republican race and the victory by Democrat Bernie Sanders, our regular political team, our analyst, Republican Todd Domke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Bob.
And Democratic analyst Dan Payne. Good morning to you, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
All right, talk about the GOP first. As we said, Priebus last night in a tweet called Trump the presumptive nominee. Is he, Todd?
Yes, it's pretty much official now after Indiana and after the RNC made clear that it would be backing Trump and arguing that the party should unite behind him. So the Republican presidential TV reality show ends with Trump as the boss who sacked all the apprentices. It was a victory for populist nationalism over traditional conservatism and over the party establishment, but also a triumph of personality over principle. Cruz was not a likable personality. Republicans liked Trump better. They think he's entertaining, and many of them view him as a winner.
Well, Trump is definitely the party's nominee. But alongside that, what we witnessed is the death of the Tea Party. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio were the Tea Party pioneers who were going to carry their message nationally, and they both got beaten by Trump. It appears people want the government of Donald Trump to help them not go away. But from now on, the party between now and November will be whatever Donald Trump says it is.
All right. Very quick question about John Kasich, Todd Domke. He skipped Indiana, has not yet dropped out of the race. Any hope for him?
Well, not really. But often the candidate who ends up in second place then wins the nomination the next time around. That's probably his motivation. But Kasich isn't really going to end up as the second place guy. Even if he does well in California and ends up with delegates who were going to vote for Rubio or Cruz, but Kasich may enjoy being the last opponent standing. And if Trump loses big in November, Kasich can then claim that he tried to at least avert disaster for the party.
All right. I have to ask a very quick question about Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. The head of a conservative group in Massachusetts called the Massachusetts Republican Assembly has openly questioned Baker's decision to walk away from Trump. Baker has said he's not going to vote for Trump, won't go to the convention. Is Baker openly challenging Trump supporters in Massachusetts?
Well, Governor Baker has painted himself into a corner on this. He, in effect, let Trump win the primary here by doing nothing. And Baker let Trump win the delegates in the caucuses without opposing them. So anti-Trump Republicans are unhappy with Baker. After the primary, Baker announced he would not personally vote for Trump, even if he's nominated. So now the Trump forces are also unhappy with him. With Baker now controlling the state Republican Party, he's at a crossroads. Will he let the party go the way of his ally, the GOP National Committeeman, who wants the state party to back Trump, or will he follow Mitt Romney, who's been silent recently but sounded earlier like he was never Trump?
Well, Charlie Baker is supposed to be the leader of his state's Republicans, but he has ceded control to Ron Kaufman, a Washington lobbyist who doesn't even live in Massachusetts. Kaufman is now the state's top Republican, and he compares Donald Trump
to— Well, he is a Republican National Committee man from Massachusetts. So
but he doesn't live here.
Well, but he does have an official role in Massachusetts.
Yeah. He compares Donald Trump to Ronald Reagan. That's like comparing Lynyrd Skynyrd to the Rolling Stones.
All right, on to the Democrats. Bernie Sanders got what his campaign needed in Indiana last night, a 5-point win over Hillary Clinton.
This is the 18th state that we have won. We have pulled off a major upset victory. The Clinton people can spin it any way they want. We won tonight in a major upset. They lost. We're now going to West Virginia. We're going to Kentucky, and we're going to Oregon.
That is a defiant Bernie Sanders speaking last night after his win in Indiana. Dan, is he still fighting for the nomination or for influence over the convention, the platform, or is he fighting for the future of the party?
Well, he can have some impact on the party platform for what it's worth, which is not much. He can express a preference for a vice president, but that'll be treated lightly. What he can affect is the behavior of his under 30 voters who don't like Hillary Clinton. Even if they don't jump to her right away, Trump is such a bad option. Young people will ultimately turn to Hillary Clinton.
That's right. Sanders can win some states coming up, like Nebraska, Washington, Oregon. But he and his strategists know that something really surprising would have to happen for him to have a plausible shot at winning. He wants to use his leverage, his popularity, to change the platform, but also deliver a speech in prime time that might electrify the convention.
Without Ted Cruz in the GOP race, Donald Trump is going to be able to focus almost exclusively on Hillary Clinton now. So will there be more pressure on Bernie Sanders to get out of the Democratic contest, Todd?
Well, I think behind the scenes, some Democratic officials will use that argument. But it's not a good public argument because it implies that Clinton would have trouble beating Trump. And I don't think they want to signal weakness like that.
I think it's hard for the party regulars to influence Bernie Sanders to get him to quit early. He's going to go all the way to California. He may be shoveling against the tide, but he wants to press his socialist ideas. Hillary Clinton also can't afford to do what she did in Indiana again, which is she didn't run any TV advertising and she hardly showed up there.
She pretty much skipped Indiana.
Yeah, and she got what she had coming, which is a 5-point defeat.
So last question, Dan Payne. With Sanders' win, is it now imperative for the Clinton campaign to put Sanders away as soon as possible if it can?
Well, it's ideal for them to put him away as soon as possible, but that's not going to happen because Bernie Sanders has enough delegates and enough moxie to continue running.
That's right, and he could win the California primary. California likes to embrace what's new, and Sanders, at the age of 74, isn't exactly new, but his message still seems new to them.
Well, also, California, like Indiana, is an open primary. That they allow independents to vote in the primary, and that always helps Sanders.
All right. Thanks to our political analyst this morning in after the big Indiana results last night, Republican analyst Todd Domke.
Good to be with you, Bob.
And thank you to Democratic analyst Dan Payne.
You're welcome.